That's a good question. It's been fun watching both my son and daughter compete in various things. My son has a real passion for baseball, which is dear to my heart, because that's probably of all the sports the one I was best at playing as well. And so I have a deep connection with baseball as well. And I was able to coach a friend of his and his friend's dad, and I were able to coach this group of kids from the time they were 10 years old up until they got into high school. And so I was I was a youth coach. I think I taught them well how to play baseball, but I also think there were times where I did get wrapped up at times. I had to take a step back and spending probably too much time on practice plans and what can I do to get this 11-year-old team to get a win against somebody tonight. Maybe chirping at an ump on occasion and then driving home from the ballpark saying, why would I yell at that ump in front of the team? And it didn't happen a lot, but occasionally it would. So that was one thing. But as a fan, I kind of take on like the role when you are a media guy sitting in the press box where you're just kind of quiet. I will yell encouragement and try to do some stuff that way. But it's been fun watching. He was voted on his Lakeville North team as the Gold Glove winner. He actually plays first and third. He's a middle infielder by trade, but because of the roster composition, he alternates between first and third right now, and he had a really good year defensively. And he won the coach's award for attitude and those kind of things. So that obviously
very nice.
Made my chest swell just a little bit, absolutely.
That's always how it goes, right? You know, you always say to yourself, I'm not going to be that parent that is screaming at the umpire or getting in his face at a high school game. And then sometimes it just ends up working that way. I mean, I'm sure you see those all the time at games, even up there. Actually, I would probably even say especially up in there with, you know, how competitive even in the high school sports market can be in the Twin Cities.
Well, no doubt. And now that said, I do think there's time. I want to say this, most polite manner, there are times where an umpire needs to be woken up because I think sometimes an umpire is doing five games a night or five games a week, sometimes three games a day on the weekend or four games a day on the weekend, and it can get to be, just like you go through the motions, and sometimes you lose focus. And I do believe this, and this is maybe people think I'm nuts, but for those kids, this is their game. I don't care if it's a third game you've worked. This is their game right now. This is a 12-year-old kid that really wants to play well and is really trying hard. And you owe it to those kids to put in a good effort. So oftentimes when I would chirp, it would be more in line with, hey, let's go. Come on. This is important for these kids. Because a lot of times they say, oh, it's only 12-year-old baseball. Don't take it so seriously. And I get that. I think there's some truth to that. But I also think if we're going to try to coach and teach achievers, whether it's baseball or whether it's in life, you have to make sure that you aspire to achieve at a high level or at least put out an effort at a high level. And sometimes, sometimes these guys are making, I get it, you know, a 12-year-old baseball game, they might make $30. So they're not getting rich off it. But coaches are volunteers. Players are playing on their own. So nobody's getting rich off it. And so I think there's a time where there should be a standard of effort, I guess, is the point. And I'm not saying that, and by and large, you know, 9 out of every 10 games you play, the umps love it. They're there because they love it, right? They're not there to get rich. But there's a time or two where you got to say, hey, let's all get on the same page here and focus up. And we're not just going through the motions waiting for, you know, you to go out on your date after the game or what have you in terms of that. So I think there's an occasion for it. I think that we all should strive to be, people that want to put in good effort no matter what you do. If you're going to do it, let's do it right and go for it. But then again, you also need to take a step back and enjoy it, especially at the youth level, because at the end of the day, almost none of these guys are going to play college baseball, let alone big league baseball. So let's make sure the bottom line is the goal is to enjoy themselves. But certainly, I mean, we all talk about it, and I think it's true. You can learn, it sounds like a cliche, but you learn a little bit about yourself and everything else when times, when you're hit with some adversity in sports or what have you, and you try to learn from those things to become a better person.
Talking with the voice of the Gophers and Minnesota News Network sports director Mike Grimm here on Mower County Sports Live. Are you a sunflower seeds guy when you're at these games, Mike? You're just sitting out at a high school baseball game. It's a Saturday afternoon or whatever. Are you a sunflower seeds guy when you're out there?
Yeah, I made fun of. No one cares about this story, but I have to tell it. So when I was young, like, I'm going to say, you know, first grade or second grade, my mom bought, and nobody knew of sunflower seeds back then. That's how old I am. My mom bought me a bag of sunflower seeds. And for whatever reason, I really liked the salty flavor. And I got to be really good, even at a young age. Like, if there's a, like, if there was a competition, and I'm not making this up, I'd be the world-class guy of, or, you know, I would be, like, winning gold medals in eating the number of sunflower seeds per minute or something. Because I can chuck them and chuck them pretty darn fast in a number of ways. I can pack them in my cheek. I can use them, you know, just say, you know, I can use one at a time with my fingers and then discard the seed. And people laugh at me, and then when the game's done, they're like, man, you got a lot of shells down there. You're going to need a broom to sweep those up. So I have to tell that story. I've been an expert seed eater forever, and I get made fun all the time about that.
So sunflower seed champion, Mike Grimm on Mulberry County Sports Side. The stories that we get here, what are the other champions that you, what are the other self-proclaimed championships that you give yourself? We got to go down this road now here for a second.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple I probably can't say on the air. No, I'm just kidding. that's my main skill is sunflower seed eating. If there was like a fourth, like there's a 4th of July hot dog eating, if there was a sunflower eating contest, I'd be right in the thick of world class. And it's a sad statement, I get it, in life, but that's my claim to fame.
Hey, we all need our championships. We all need our wins here over the course of time, certainly. Well, another one certainly for you over the weekend, getting the chance to call some Gopher baseball at the Super Regional. It was a really nice opportunity for you. Just talk a little bit about what that was like for you, getting to call the first Super Regional in Gopher baseball history.
It was great. I had a good time. We had a little travel issue on Friday, so I wasn't able to do the game Friday. We were planning to do it, but... again, getting back to another personal note, my son, who we just talked about, graduated from high school on Thursday night, so I couldn't go out any time before that. I wasn't going to miss his graduation. And then we actually did have some other contingency plans in place. Those also fell through. And so what we ended up doing on Friday on the internet, because the Friday game was going to be an internet-only broadcast anyway, is we used the Oregon State feed, and their fine play-by-play guy, Mike Parker. So our fans were able to listen to the game, and Mike was very good about keeping fans abreast of stuff. And then I was able to do the Saturday game, really hoping that we'd get the Sunday, and man, I enjoyed it. I had not done baseball in a while, so I had to shake off a little rust and felt like, you know, as the game went on, I got into a little rhythm in terms of calling the game. And man, it was a great game, which certainly helped, and it looked like the Gophers were on their way to forcing a game on Sunday, and then just ran out of gas in the final 1 2/3 innings. They were 5 outs away from advancing to Sunday and forcing, you know, that third game, and they just couldn't get enough outs before the runs started coming across from that very powerful Oregon State team. But what a season, you know, what a season indeed, which is part of why we decided to do that game, and we were absolutely going to continue, obviously, if they had won those games and then gotten into Omaha, we were going to continue to broadcast those games. So it was fun. It was really fun. It was good to be around John Anderson. You know, obviously I know him fairly well over my time at the U, but it was good to see how he operates on a road trip and some of those things as well. And what a first-class guy he is, the head coach.
Yeah, what do you think this does for a guy like John Anderson? You know, he seems like a coach that has one of those statuses, kind of like the Miami baseball coach, where they're kind of there just as long as they want to be. What do you think a season like this now does for John Anderson? Does it revitalize him? Does it, you know, are we getting kind of close to the end there? What do you think some of the next steps are?
Well, it's a good question. You know, he is not, I mean, he could retire, but, you know, he's been there 37 years, so you get, when you think about that, you're like, oh, my God, he must be 80 years old. But he got the job when he was 24 or 25, so he's still only in his low 60s. I want to say he's 62 or 63. And in baseball coaching, you know, like the Florida State guy's like 75 years old. I mean, you can hang around, and he has such a position. First of all, he's so revered at the school, you know, he can basically have the job as long as he wants. I think a couple of things. I think it was amazing to me how much interest was generated by this run. You know, that's a team that gets lost in the shuffle a little bit through the hustle and bustle of the spring with the crossover of NBA, NHL. You know, the Vikings have their mini camps, and then the Twins get going. That team gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, so it was nice to see them get some deserved attention on what a great year they had. And I also think the amazing thing is they continue to do it, and they do it without not always getting for years they won the Big Ten by getting all the great players in the state of Minnesota, and it was a very underrated state in high school baseball. People wouldn't come and recruit here because the coaches in the South would say, you know, that they don't play year-round. We don't need to worry about recruiting Minnesota. And then John Anderson for years was winning Big Ten titles with these Minnesota kids. And pretty soon people started thinking, oh, man, maybe we should look there. Well, then the proliferation really in the last 10 years of this travel stuff and this club stuff has really exposed Minnesota kids to the South and to the other programs. And so he's losing a few of those kids, and we saw the impact of it maybe 4 or 5 years ago when they took a dip. And I'm hoping that this season, with 20 of the 31 players on the roster from Minnesota, that some of these kids that are going out of state will rethink that and say, look what I can do here in the state of Minnesota. Like just in my son's conference, there are two kids going to Missouri, two kids going to TCU, a kid going to North Carolina, a kid going to Kentucky. And just think if those kids, and you know what? Kentucky didn't make it. Missouri didn't make it. TCU didn't make it. Minnesota was two wins away from making the College World Series. So I guess my point is I hope that this will wake some of those guys up to say, look what we can do if we, one, stay home. I got to talk to Toby Hansen, the kid from Delano, the first baseman DH for the Gophers, and he talked so passionately about what it meant as a Minnesotan to play for the Gophers and to wear, he goes, the first day he put that Gopher jersey on, it was unbelievable. Like, what a feeling. And so hopefully that will help. I think kids can now start looking and saying, look what I can accomplish by staying home. I don't have to go to Missouri to accomplish my dreams. And then I just think an interest level, ticket sales, attendance, radio coverage. I mean, you know what? I don't know. I can't guarantee anything. But the fact that we did that game on Friday, it wouldn't surprise me if somehow we put together some sort of a little package. I'm not saying all, 50 games next year, but maybe, do a handful of games here just to help. And even pick up a softball game. I don't know. That's just me talking out loud. But all that stuff, I think, is part of it, Sam, that will help this program in the long run. And I think John's here to stay for a little while yet. He's going to lose his longtime assistant, Rob Fornasier. He is retiring, and they're going to miss him, there's no doubt. I think John's here to stay for a while yet.
Mike Grimm, the voice of the Gophers and Minnesota News Network sports director on the show. Last thing here, Mike, before we let you go, because I know we're running a little long. You have certainly things you need to do today, but been a couple weeks since we had you on the show, and I wanted to get your reaction to the Victor Viramontes story. For those that didn't hear, he was at the University of Minnesota for one semester, the junior college transfer quarterback, and it looks like now he's going to go back to his old junior college and switch from quarterback to linebacker. And certainly there were a lot of fingers that went towards P.J. Fleck when that story first broke out. How did this end up happening? How did something like this happen? But what was your reaction when you saw that?
Yeah, I was not totally stunned. I was surprised at how little play he got in spring practice based on what I had heard of how great his film was and how highly he was recruited. But I watched practices, and then we watched a spring game, and he barely played. And I thought, boy, they must not like what they're seeing, or maybe he's not as good as they thought. And I think that was probably the case, because the young man's going to go back to the same junior college he came here from, and he's not even going to play quarterback. So maybe he saw the writing on the wall. I don't know if the coaches, misjudged it a little bit, but I'll give the coaches a little credit, I guess, in that they saw early that this guy maybe wasn't going to be who they thought he was in terms of a skilled quarterback. And, man, they didn't, just because he was hyped and just because, and you know what, Jerry Kilstaff used to do this too, and I respect it, because what others say, or what, hey, this kid's a four-star or whatever, they didn't let that influence them. They were like, yeah, and I'm assuming that they were, I have not talked to anyone on the coaching staff since this all went down, so a lot of this is speculation, but I think that they probably said, hey, this kid's not as good. I don't care if he's a four-star. I don't care if he came in highly touted. This guy's not, these other two guys are better, and they were less touted, but yet including one of them is a walk-on. But yet they got the reps, and they, so I guess it's, it's based on merit, and I think that's in a sense, and maybe I'm reaching for a positive in a situation that doesn't look all that positive, but in that the sense that the coaching staff is a true evaluation of it. And that was one thing I always liked about Jerry Till's staff as well, is they would go out and recruit kids, and everyone would be, well, that's a two-star kid. You know, no one's recruiting him. And Till would be, I don't care. We like him. He's going to fit. And they had a lot of guys that were that way that turned out to be really good football players. So he's gone. They only have two quarterbacks right now on the roster that they really think can play. And they have a couple of commitments for future years, and I think that quarterback is obviously a situation they have to address. That said, the two on the roster, I thought both played really well. In all my time here, they probably had two of the better spring games of any quarterbacks over the years, right? I mean, the quarterback's always been an issue here. There's not just been a high level of quarterback play for a number of years here, even going all the way back to Coach Mason. There were good quarterbacks, but they haven't had an all Big Ten quarterback, I don't know since when. Not since I've been here. And so the good news is that the two kids that they currently have that they like, I thought both had really good spring games.
Do you think it could be as simple as a culture thing? I mean, not to pander or hyper-focus, I guess, too much that's what fans associate as PJ Flex, you know, shtick, and not to make it too much of a deal. But I think there is still a little bit of ambiguity on how that culture that PJ Flex talks so much about really comes into play. Do you think it could be something that simple with Vera Montez?
No, I don't. I think he loved the culture. I think that part is what really drew him to Minnesota. He was a weight room freak. He loved the idea of working hard. I think he liked the idea of being in a environment like that. I think it came down to a skill set, and the quarterback ended up not being where he was going to, you know, further his career. And that's always kind of been the case. Remember, he committed to Michigan way back when as an athlete, and then when they told him he probably wasn't going to be a quarterback, he went to Cal, and then they had a coaching change, and he went to the junior college. And so the fact that, look, if he was going to go back to the junior college or he transferred somewhere else to play quarterback, then you'd have to think, okay, well, what's going on here? But the fact that he is going to switch positions to linebacker, that tells me that he probably decided that quarterback, it was a skill thing. I don't think it was a culture thing in this case. I really don't. I don't know that for sure. That's just me speculating. But I think he actually really did like the culture and what it's about.